Are mirrors actually a portal to another dimension? Are our shadows trying to assassinate us? These are some of the questions that you will find the answer to on this paranormal life. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Roy Powers. I'm your host for today, joined by Kit Greer. How you doing, Kit?
I'm doing good. I'm really hot. Yeah. It's really warm in this room.
It's really warm in this
house. It's another beautiful day in sunny London.
And my heating system's kind of broken, so...
Yeah, has it just been, like, cranked all year?
Yes.
And this is the first hot day?
We were just talking about how scary it would be if your shadow was actually trying to assassinate you.
Yeah, Peter Pan style, little, like, evil bitch shadow.
But then I was going to say, because your shadow's not always behind you either, so...
Yeah.
Sometimes he's one step ahead of you, ready to trip you up and make you the shadow.
That would be it. The shadow would be jealous of your, like, 3D body, wouldn't he?
Yeah, like, totally jealous. Or maybe we're the shadow to the shadow. No, we're getting too far away from it. I'm going to move on. Welcome to This Paranormal Life. This is a paranormal podcast where every week we look at a new case study of paranormal activity and, as professional paranormal investigators, come to a conclusion as to whether or not that case is real.
Mm-hmm.
We've studied it all, folks. From Bigfoot to Sasquatch to lizard men to aliens. We've done it all. We've seen it all. We've had sex with it all. It's part of the job.
500 cases, yet to be one real.
Now today, our story is about the beast. Uh-huh. Sorry, the vampire beast. Big difference
there. There's a difference.
The vampire beast of Bladenboro.
That's not a real place.
It is. It is absolutely a real place. North Carolina, Bladenboro.
Okay.
Our story begins in North Carolina in 1954.
All right, let's take us there.
We're going back in the jazz machine.
Just in the
was
cantina
there the prohibition?
Theme tune.
I don't know.
The prohibition. Yeah, bathtub gin.
It's the 29th of December. It's approaching Christmas.
29th of December.
Shit.
This was Rory last Christmas. Rory, you didn't get anyone gifts. Christmas is like January, right?
It's after Christmas.
It's a new year.
In the small woodland town of Bladenboro.
Still not real. Continue.
It's real. If I say it enough times, it is real.
Okay.
It's like Bloody Mary. And a local farmer, who we'll call Joe, is out walking with his dogs. Now, it's a beautiful night. Clear skies, bright stars, full moon. Question mark? I don't actually know
Hailstone.
If it was. I don't know if it was a red sky, demons on
blood
earth.
Blood rain?
But Farmer Joe is having a lovely evening stroll when all of a sudden, he hears a low, sinister growl coming from the woods.
His dogs? No.
Not his dogs. Farmer Joe is stricken with fear. His dogs even seem afraid.
Whoa.
But one of them, the bravest of them all, or maybe the most foolish.
Chad, the bravest dog of all. A freaking jock
a
dog.
A tough motherfucker of a dog.
He did wrestling in college.
Till he threw his shoulder, but he always knew he could go pro.
He tore his ACL.
Now he
had the stem cell
shot.
Calls
his stepson a little bitch. Chad, we'll call him Chad.
Chad the dog.
Chad the dog. Reluctantly approached the bushes where the noise originated.
Mm-hmm.
As Farmer Joe's dog approached the bushes, the growling became louder and more aggressive.
No.
What is this? What's happening?
Run, leave the dogs. You can buy new dogs.
All of a sudden, out of the shadows, stretched two razor-sharp claws.
Whoa!
And a pair of teeth that could only belong to a vampire. All of a sudden, Joe watched as his dog was slashed and dragged into the bushes.
Oh, Christ.
Fearing for his own life, Farmer Joe turned and fled, running through the woods.
That's right, Joe.
Desperate to get back to the house. He returned home and locked his doors. He's safe for the night.
Uh-huh.
What are our immediate thoughts here? What are we dealing with?
This is terrifying. I'm shivering in my booties.
Granted, okay? I spooked the story up a bit. Okay. That was a dramatic
It's
rendition.
Actually a pretty dry
it was a
read.
Badger.
It's a children's book. It's a fairy tale.
Joe was a pig. It was a wolf. He huffed and puffed. I got a little carried away with the claws, sure.
With the slashing and the blades.
What are we thinking? So we've talked previously on this podcast about the legend of the Goat Man.
Uh-huh.
He killed dogs. He was out in the woods, but he had an axe.
Well, yeah, a bladey axe.
And hooves.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with claws here. We're dealing with vampire teeth.
How do you know the vampire teeth? What is the difference between a vampire tooth and a tooth?
I guess some sort of holes for siphoning the blood.
Yeah.
Sharp, what are those called?
Incisors.
Incisors, sharp incisors. But then I guess a lot of cat-like creatures have sharp incisors. I think he was also wearing a tall collar and a cape.
He had like that widow's peak, like bad hairline.
Oh yeah,
the kind of black course. M head.
He erected from a coffin before he quickly grabbed the dog.
I'm on board.
So later on, it's New Year's Day. It's 3 days later. Two more dogs have been found dead.
Oh my god.
Joe's starting to panic. This is getting a little bit strange. Now, both creatures had their heads crushed and were drained of blood.
Oh, Christ.
There's some really grisly stuff. I actually had to choose to cut some out of this because it was just like, it was like, okay, this dog was killed in this way. This dog was killed in this way. And I was like, Jesus. I don't need to know all this.
Yeah.
It's like, now we're moving on to the goats. Well, this one was gutted from me. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I don't even know any of this. It was horrible.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can find that content in the This Paranormal Life Too Hot for TV edition.
After the watershed, it's just like violent language. Then there's motherfucking dogs came out of the fucking woods. Over the next couple of days in Bladenborough, it was more than
Can we talk Bladenborough? I mean, it's kind of in the name. Bladenborough.
He was born to have some sort of paranormal activity in a place like that.
Imagine just like, you know, moving out of your hometown and just like, you just pin on the map. Yeah. Bladenborough sounds good.
Right behind Devil's Creek and
Slashville, Carolina.
Yeah, it was more than just dogs that went missing. All right. Whoa. We're talking rabbits. We're talking goats.
Babies.
Pigs. And often the creatures would be found with all of the blood drained from their bodies.
So this is kind of, we've talked before about cattle mutilations. This isn't too far removed.
No, it's a similar case where you're seeing animals over a very short period of time mutilated and drained of blood.
Yeah.
As if they're being harvested.
Yeah.
They're all dead. Blood's been sucked out. They look like little raisins with legs. Now, all of this has happened in under a week.
Just little beef jerky's left.
So the town is starting to get worried. Because how long before this thing gets a taste for human blood? For which real. We all know is the most delicious blood of all.
It's the one filled with Coca-Cola, sugar syrup.
Sugary sweets.
Yeah.
Potato, cheese, and onion.
Super tender just from like lying on the couch all day.
Oh my God. Humans are so delicious. So what do you do in this situation? Well, the mayor of the town, Mayor W.G. Fussell.
That's not real either.
Now, he obviously wants to quieten down all the rumors.
Keep everyone
in control.
You want to get elected next term. You want to get this on the down low. You want to be have vampire killings in the low fifth percentile.
100 Do you think when Obama ran for president, he was bragging that he was going to bring back the vampire beast? Of course he didn't. So he obviously wants to quieten down all the rumors, and he assures the citizens that everything is okay. And they believe that it was. Until late at night in Bladenborough, a mother by the name of, let's hope this name is more believable.
Let's go.
Mrs. C.E. Kinlaw.
Okay.
That's pretty good. She had put her kids to bed. And afterwards, she walked outside onto her porch to get some fresh air. And that's when she saw it. A large, dark beast strolling towards her on all fours.
God.
It had the warped and twisted face of a cat, the body of a dog, and the teeth
of...
Was
this cat dog? Nickelodeon's cat dog?
Cat dog did not have vampire teeth. That's not canon.
Did cat dog ever open its mouth? Either mouth?
Which one of them was the butthole for cat dog? Because presumably they had to poop out one of their mouths.
That was a weird cartoon.
It was really weird. There was a lot of weird cartoons back in the day. Face of a cat, body of a dog, teeth of a vampire.
Body
the ultimate
of a dog.
Combo.
That's really small.
I guess a big dog. It's not like a tiny
like
dog.
A Great Dane, like a Scooby-Doo of itself.
What we're dealing with here is like a... almost like a werewolf,
yeah.
I would say.
Oh,
like
that's
a werewolf
fair.
Creature.
Okay. Because I think when people think vampire, they think like we jokes like a Dracula.
I'm going to suck your blood.
But no, this is like a little werewolf beast.
A werewolf beast vampire demon. Mrs. Kinlaw let out a terrified scream and ran inside. Upon hearing the commotion, her husband, Charles Kinlaw, grabbed his shotgun and ran outside. It's hunting season, motherfucker. It's time.
Two fangs in his neck.
Charles tripped on the driftwood and shot himself in the face.
Tumbling down the stairs, taking out every member of the family with each round.
Ironically, Charles became the ultimate beast.
Shit.
But when Charles reached the yard, the only thing left was the giant cat-like paw prints around his yard.
Wow.
So this is interesting as well, because once again, yes, we have a paranormal experience. Mm-hmm. We have evidence left behind of the creature. It's not just testimony.
That's true.
Actual evidence.
Yeah.
So newspapers came around, police came around, and they got pictures of the paw prints, which were like a cat's.
Uh-huh.
But a lot wider,
right,
and deeper into the dirt to imply that this is quite a heavy set creature.
Did someone at some point? I'm imagining this whole story. Did some people ever speculate that maybe this was a mountain lion? Because mountain lions and creatures like that, I don't know if they exist in that part of the world, but they have been known to nab people.
Yeah, I don't think mountain lions at this point did not exist in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
But I think there was rumors of coyotes and bobcats.
Okay. But I understand. So it's bigger than a bobcat.
It's big. Yeah. This thing's jacked.
Okay.
Was packing.
It's actually kind of hot.
Yeah. I don't even think about it. I haven't even gone onto his dick yet.
But like abs.
Yeah.
But like
yeah,
big
yeah.
abs.
It was like ripped.
Barrel chested.
He had like 20,000 on Instagram followers.
He was promoting some sort of fit tea. Some sort of cat fit tea.
He was doing like a detox or something. I mean, he called it a detox.
He's actually got a workshop next week in London. I'm thinking of going.
Yeah. It's all about like innovating online and doing like digital marketing. I love the idea of going on YouTube and there's an ad that pops up before your video and it's just the vampire beast in his garage. Yep. That's my Ferrari back there.
You know what I love? Pool of blood.
You know what I love more than goat's blood? My teas. My green herbal teas. Also, with the promo code vampire, you can get 20% off Squarespace, your first website.
If you need a website for luring children and other blood-filled beasts.
Why is he a redneck? Why is the werewolf a redneck? So at this point, this is interesting because now at this point we have a clear description of the animal.
Mm.
We have hundreds of animals missing, and we know now that this isn't just someone going around wrecking goats. And
This isn't a person. It's not a person anymore.
And this begins a new chapter in the story, my favorite chapter, that I'm calling The Hunt. I'm gonna kick in like some country music here, and some sound of like people loading shotguns and like getting ready to go out for the hunt.
Yeah.
Now, this is the 1950s, so rumors spread quickly back in these days.
Because no one has anything else to do.
No one's got anything on. You think rumors spread fast now? Oh my God! Back in those days.
This thing was like a Kardashian of the vampire world, okay?
Exactly.
It was front page news.
Freaking handing out Pepsis to all the police officers. Handing out goat's blood to the front line, trying to shut this hunt down.
A hunting party of like 200 men. This vampire comes out of the bushes with a little ice-cold glass of goat's blood. The sheriff puts down his sniper rifle. Well, I'll be damned.
A peace offering from the beast itself. So, the rumors are spreading like wildfire.
Mm.
Everyone's talking about the beast. Now, Mayor W.G. Fuss... I've said Fusswell this time, but I originally said Fussel. I think it's Fussel.
You said Fussel before, yeah.
Let me just double check. It is Fussel. So, everyone's talking about the beast. Now, Mayor W.G. Fussel has now completely flipped. Instead of keeping things quiet, he wants huge groups of hunters to come out and track down
every freaking world leader that will listen.
Women, children. He's putting guns in their hands.
The war effort.
They all need to come out so that they can kill the murderous vampire beast. He's sending these memos out to local papers. It reaches papers in New York. That's how far this thing goes. So the hunt is broken down into a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first night, Police Chief Roy Ferreza half a dozen brave youths, and 8 other officers went out in search for the creature. But they turned up empty-handed.
Wow, okay.
That's night one. On the second night, word is spreading. More than 500 people showed up to join the hunt.
Well, we sent out 8 and it didn't really cut it.
We need more!
Should we multiply that by 40?
Give the kids guns.
That's but sir, insane from the start.
Use them as bait.
I like the idea that like the mayor of the town didn't even believe in the beast. He just wanted to arm children.
It's been his ploy the whole time. Yeah. So 500 people went out searching restlessly through the forests and the swamp. Still found nothing.
God damn.
On the third day, news is getting out there. More than 800 people arrived in Bladenborough to join the hunt.
More people is not the answer. I like the idea that they're just like, at no point do they accept that it's not like, not
I know.
Real. They're like, okay, I guess it was some wild animal. They're like, it's out there. It's more underground. Let's start digging. I say we start digging.
Trevor, you and the boys take the sky. We're taking the ground.
You take up, we'll take down.
These are going to be some very rural country people. So at this point, we've got hunters as far off as Arizona who have traveled just to Bladenborough.
That's badass.
Because they've literally heard that there's a vampire going around the city killing animals. And of course, if you have spare time, spare cash.
Oh my God.
You want to be the person to kill a vampire. Yeah, that's incredible. This is like, I'd be right
this
there.
This is like a Grateful Dead concert, but of the paranormal world. Like, it's just attracting all the hunters from around the country.
Exactly.
Hunt on this beast. You'd be world famous.
Now, unfortunately, instead of a successful hunt, this was chaos. It was essentially hundreds of men in the swamps at night.
Killing
literally anything that moved.
Oh my God.
They murdered hundreds of animals.
Oh my God.
Over the period of this hunt. On the fourth day, another 1,000 people showed up to the hunt. At this point, the town had actually gone insane. Everyone was carrying a gun. It wasn't safe to go out at night, not even because of the vampire beasts, but because
you
would have been shot.
Anything like a dog or a cat, you were dead.
Any facial hair, shot. Long nails, shot. Drinking dark Vimto from a cup,
more than 3
shot.
Dead.
So during this entire process, hunters were literally bringing in roadkill and dead coyotes to the mayor and police chief, Fereza, claiming that it was the beast and demanding a reward.
How drunk were these men? So drunk.
I've got the beast. Squirrel. Sorry,
that is a crow.
It's a crow.
That's a crow. Jerry, can you go into another crow? Yeah, the 50th.
How much for the beast?
Yeah, nothing.
Hark, hark!
Nothing because it's a crow. He just tosses it into a pile of hundreds of crows.
We brought its den. That's a bird's nest.
I found a beast still in its egg. In egg form.
We cannot accept this. Okay. Would you mind if I scrambled the beast egg?
You can take the egg.
Had it on toast with a side of beast bacon.
Do you have any hot sauce for this beast I'm about to eat?
This is what it's come down to. Drunken hunters dropping roadkill on the mayor's desk.
I bet he regrets
money.
That one. Although, for sure, to come back to the election, definitely the highest approval rating of any mayor. I mean, they've probably doubled the population of this town.
Oh, absolutely.
Hunters.
Well, this is part of it, is that I think there are rumors that throughout this whole experience, the mayor was really not helping with clarifying, like breaking down the myth from the reality. So he was really part of the team that was building it up to be this vampire monster.
Right.
Even going as far as like tell newspapers like, oh yeah, there's spooky things in the woods.
Oh God.
Like kind of like fanning that
egging
flame.
It on.
But what we're going to find out is obviously what's happened is that it's gone way too far. Now you'd hope that the police chief, Fereza, would be like with the mayor and be a bit more sensible about this? Absolutely not. At one point, the chief wanted to chain up animals as bait, Jurassic Park style. Literally, he wanted to chain dogs in the woods to lure the creature out a humane society in North Carolina were forced to step in and stop him.
I'm imagining that in this group of like 2,000 drunken hunters, there's about like 50 of the beasts just also with pitchforks, but no one's noticing. They're just in such a fervor.
Yeah, they're kind of like getting close to their little den. It's like, I heard the beast lived in this direction. Like blood from his fangs. Oh, good, nice work, Antonio. You heard the man. Like Antonio's like 12 foot high, hunched over with like a little girl's head in his backpack.
I'll tell you what, Fibonacci is an incredible hunter.
I also heard the beast was really cool and had a huge dick. Yeah, I think I heard that too, Antonio. The way I kind of think of Police Chief Foresa is, you know, in those apocalypse movies where you always have the person playing the role of the military chief, where the scientists come in and they're like, look, we know how to beat this guy. We have to use these weapons and this formula.
Simple. Very straightforward.
And the police chief goes, I know how to solve it. It's called napalm. Lots of napalm. We used it in a little place called Vietnam.
Yeah.
Here's some science for you. Splitting an atom. How's that to deal with your beasts?
Fire kills shit.
So Foresa nuked Bladenborough. In an attempt
also
to
known
kill
as
the beast.
Hiroshima.
So meanwhile, while the hunt's going on and the mayor is panicking, local Bladenborough farmer named Luther Davis has joined the hunt for the vampire beast.
Of course.
Now, obviously, with all these professional hunters out there in the woods, the chance of Luther actually finding the monster was pretty slim. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, he set out into the swamp.
A brave gent.
Very brave gent. Or a fool. Trudging through the muddy waters.
He drowned in the swamp immediately.
He found the only case of quicksand in North Carolina almost immediately.
Why did it have to be quicksand?
Trudging through the muddy waters and through the thick bushes, Luther searched deep into the swamp where the other hunters hadn't gone. Before he knew it, he heard strange noises echoing through the trees. The sound of rustling branches and clinking metal.
No.
Was this the vampire beast? We haven't heard of metal being involved in the story
yet.
It's
true.
Unless this is a
maybe
ghost man.
Maybe he's
had
some dank chains. This is one paid beast. Just the clinking of 24 carats.
So Luther followed the sounds deep into the swamp until he found the source of it lying there on the ground with its leg locked in a bear trap.
Oh my God.
Luther had found a bobcat. Just a regular old, probably rabies-infested bobcat.
That must be the only time that you come across like a wild beast and you're like relieved that it's, you know what I mean? It's like if you ever come across like a wild animal, it's going to be an intense situation.
Yeah.
How you react to each other. But that's like, he thought it was going to be Dracula.
Yes.
But it was a wild cat.
It was a bobcat. And not even like a free bobcat, a trapped bobcat.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, he's like a farmer. He's a nice guy. You'd think he would let the bobcat go. No, he shot it in the head. Killed it.
Better be safe. You know, you don't know if that thing... You don't know
maybe
what kind
of... Maybe he can shapeshift.
Exactly.
Maybe he can shapeshift.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that actually was the demon.
Are you the mayor at this point?
Well, look, it's funny you should mention that because, again, things had gotten so out of control that the mayor needed to find a way to shut down the hunt.
Wow, even he had turned his back on it at this point.
Oh, absolutely. He's panicking because he knows it's only a matter of time before a hunter shoots a hairy child in the face.
Yeah, for sure.
It's imminent at this point. So Luther, what he does is with the bobcat, because he's like all the other drunken hunters out there in the woods, goes to the mayor and lays the bobcat down on the mayor's table.
Everyone's so convinced.
And then he's like, I shot it. And instead of the mayor being like, yeah, okay, brilliant, this is a squirrel, the mayor sees an out here.
Mm.
What he says is, congratulations, Mr. Luther, you've killed the beast.
Whoa, because this is like the biggest thing that's been brought in, probably.
Yeah, it's because it's quite a large bobcat. Yeah. So what the mayor does is he strings it up in the middle of the town and takes a photo with the body beside it with a sign that says, "The Beast of Bladenborough."
Everyone go home, please, today. Go,
basically.
Leave.
That goes out to papers across the world. Wow. The beast is dead.
Oh my God.
It's been hunted. I have brought with me, Kit,
uh-huh,
a photo.
Whoa.
The actual photo that was put to the papers.
It's a tomcat. It's a freaking tomcat.
This is the beast that was brought to the mayor by Luther with the message below. So I'm handing you the page now.
Wow, this is a piece of history. God, this is borderline a watercolor. This thing's so old.
It's very washed out. Jesus. Yeah. I really blew up the JPEG, as they say.
Oh, Christ. That's no cat. That's a tiny man. This is terrifying. It's kind of, for people listening, it's two men. This is obviously the mayor.
It's a mayor on the right. Yes.
Yeah, and Davis on the left. And they're holding up this bobcat in a kind of like boxer's victory pose. But the cat's obviously pained and kind of anguished, kind of screaming little like face. But yeah. It looks very human. It's quite disturbing.
It is. But ultimately, that doesn't match the descriptions that people have seen. It doesn't match the weight of the creature
that has left
the print.
It's ultimately, they're stretching it out so it looks big.
They really
are.
They're straight up like medieval torture devicing this little poor cat.
Yeah, I mean, so for reference, they're stretching this thing out like by its paws, and it's only like waist height, really.
That is not the beast.
It's not the beast.
But it was enough to end the hunt. And coincidentally enough, after the forest had been completely destroyed of wildlife, sightings and reports of the creature dipped massively. Mm-hmm.
All right.
In fact, almost entirely.
Almost, you say?
You almost think that they did get the beast. But they didn't!
Oh!
So sightings of the creature died down after the hunt, and the Beast of Bladenborough became no more than a legend. That is, until 2007.
Today!
Today! I'm the beast!
Rory's brought in a cage.
So in Lexington, North Carolina, 60 goats were found dead.
60?
60 goats.
Oh my God.
That's too many goats.
Is this beast of a freaking machine gun?
Well, most suspicious of all, they weren't just dead. They'd all had the blood drained from their little goat bodies.
Not again.
Then later, 30 miles away, in Greensboro, another farmer loses all of his goats in the exact same way. Is the beast back?
It sounds like it. 30 miles is quite far.
30 miles is really far.
Yeah.
He's got a Segway.
I really think he's got
mobile.
A Segway. He's got some sort of glider apparatus.
Well, also, the beast has a hoverboard, a Segway,
and one of those little spinners,
and a vase. He's blending in with modern day civilization.
Very ahead of his time, actually.
Yeah, he really likes the cherry vape. So later in North Carolina, October 2007, which is, what is this now? 60 years later?
This
almost
is
60
insane.
Years later. Bill Robinson is at his home several miles from Bladenborough. It's late in the afternoon.
You think you'd be safe several miles away.
Yeah, but not with the Segway beast. He will
Swagway.
Hunt. He knows no boundaries. He's about to get ready for dinner when his son approaches him and says, "Dad, there's something wrong with Ray Ray." Now, Ray Ray is the name of their pit bull.
Okay.
Not like their uncle or something. The name of their pit bull. Little Ray Ray.
Okay.
So Bill goes out the back door to check on the dog, and immediately he can tell that something's wrong. The dog is lying motionless on the ground.
Oh no.
Bill picks his dog up and immediately notices he's a lot lighter than he usually is. It's because the blood
looks like
has been drained from him.
Looks like a bit of a raisin today. Little raisin Ray Ray.
It's been drained by a vampire beast, presumably.
Can you imagine how scary that would be? You lift up your pet and it's a freaking raisin of itself. It's
drained.
And also,
like, Bill Robinson, yeah, he's an elderly man. He has a kid. But he wouldn't have been alive or around for the original sightings.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what this is.
Exactly.
It would be terrifying. So Bill, being the good dog owner that he is, grabs a shovel and gives the dog a proper burial. Maybe some candles, a church hymn,
Some or Celine something. Dion.
Maybe put his favorite chew toy on the grave. That's say a little prayer. Emotional. Good night, sweet Ray Ray. We hardly knew you.
Yeah, he laid him in the ground, opened some snacks, distributed the snacks.
I'm sure it
put
was
on a movie
heartfelt
in the background.
I'm not entirely sure what the funeral was, but they pay their respects and they go to bed.
Uh-huh.
But the next day, Bill makes a horrifying discovery. When he leaves his house, he discovers that Ray Ray's body was back in the yard.
Oh my god.
Lying in the exact same spot where he died.
Whoa.
Later, Bill That's Robinson so found out that Ray Ray's death was linked with over 10 more dog deaths in the area.
Whoa.
And when he left the house to look for who or what could have dragged the body back to his house, he found tracks in the dirt. Tracks that matched the exact same tracks found 50 years ago in Bladenborough.
Good lord.
Boom.
This cat's old as hell.
He's back.
That's insane.
That's 2017.
No
2020, not 2017. It's real. It's now. Get the guns. Give the children guns.
Yeah, I mean, for real, the only reason why this hasn't happened to us is because we don't have pets. But if we had pets.
I thought you
were
going to say guns. If we had guns.
This thing would know to stay away.
2007. That's dangerously
that's
recent.
That's really recent.
And that was one of the latest cases.
And this is in the same locale.
So several miles out of Bladenborough, but yeah, still North Carolina.
Yeah,
in all
area
of North Carolina, I mentioned a couple different locations, but there's a lot of. I think it's they span over 200 miles. These random animal killings.
Wow.
So this thing can borderline fly.
Yeah, it can teleport.
It's a flying demon, werewolf, ghost.
To be honest, I think there's such a span of time between these sightings that it could be anywhere.
First off, What type of paranormal, professionally speaking, what type of paranormal creature do you think we're dealing with here? Because it's kind of a mix.
Yeah.
It's been described as the vampire beast of Bladenborough.
Yeah.
And so what do we have there? That's just, it's like a cat-like monster that sucks blood.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking at a werewolf, but werewolves don't suck blood, right?
No.
As far as I'm concerned, they just want to wreck shit. They just want to cause chaos.
Is there
chaos.
Anything real that drinks blood? I mean, like
mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquito insects do it. Mosquitoes and spiders, things like that. They drink blood.
Luther saw a beast with one of its legs and wings trapped in the bear trap.
The bear trap was the size of a paperclip.
Yeah, there's not a lot of actual creatures that drink blood,
yeah,
as far as I know.
Isn't that interesting? It is pretty much little tiny ones, little bugs.
I guess, because this is what puts it across from other creatures. Coyotes, bobcats, they're more vicious. They bite in, they chew, they eat. They don't crush skulls and drink blood.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird combination. It's like you have to be big enough to actually brutally crush this thing, but then also drink its blood. Which
dainty enough to sip the blood.
Yeah, to not want to even eat it, to sip on it.
What a waste.
What a freaking waste.
Ray Ray's body's unused.
I know.
Maybe they buried it, and the beast was like, guys, it's perfectly good meat. Look, I'll drag it back out for you guys. I'm doing you
really
a favor here.
Really helpful little beast. Yeah, I only want the blood. I'm not greedy. That's interesting. Yeah, so definitely odd. Not your traditional vampire case.
No.
Of
or your traditional beast case.
No.
It's such a strange occurrence. That's why I actually found this one really interesting.
And it is interesting that it is tied to such a specific locale. This something.
I go for those ones. I like those ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very specific locations
that it hasn't caught on elsewhere.
In terms of a conclusion, where do you think you are lying on the side of this? Because we have testimonies and we have a lot of stories, but they're all from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already seen the mayor flip-flop three times on whether this is real, whether this is fake. You know what it's like. These stories get blown out of proportion.
I mean, I've just seen him pose with a bobcat I'm not really taking much of what he has to say
claiming
seriously.
A bobcat was a beast.
Yeah.
Just to end the onslaught of wildlife that he had initiated.
I know, people think, you know, the era of Trump is bad at the moment. I mean, they were taking pictures with slain bobcats, okay, yeah, back then. Things were different.
Very different. They just wanted to make Bladenboro great again.
Yeah.
By killing the beasts.
Make Bladenboro keep its blood again. Yeah.
So you know what I mean? We're lacking in a lot of the key factors in terms of believability, which is like DNA, photographs, yeah, video,
yeah,
real life testimonies, murder.
But it's kind of, you know, but with some of the paranormal cases that we come across, there are, I mean, take, you know, we talked about cattle mutilations. Let's look at other UFO phenomena. Look at crop circles.
Yeah.
And that's one that, yes, this is a very odd phenomenon, but it is very possible for a human to be able to do that. And then you look at motives. Why would they do that?
Exactly.
Well, they would do it to mess with people. But this is one that, I mean, do we have kind of a plausible sort of scientific rational solution other than, I mean, I feel like paranormal hoaxes are more of a kind of modern media thing these,
yeah,
days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to imagine.
In the 1950s, who's gaining anything
exactly
from traveling 30 miles apart,
yeah,
to slit a goat's throat and then be like,
and then drain,
oh,
it
shit,
blood.
It's almost sunrise and I was supposed to be in Delaware. To make those crop circles. Oh,
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine.
I'm really out of pocket for this one. I wonder when this is going to start paying off.
Yeah, I mean, he's traveling by Greyhound back then. It's not like, yeah.
I know what you mean. There's literally, like, there's nothing to gain from,
yeah,
this.
Yeah, there's nothing to gain from this.
Oh. 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 Oh!
The vampire's nibbling
in
your foot.
He's biting me! What if it was the mayor?
The entire time?
Slow. He wants to drum up excitement about the town. He starts going around in the night, slitting throats. He's in there with the police chief.
Wow.
So there, he's like, the police chief is like, yeah, no, it's definitely a beast. He's going around at night, slitting throats, killing cows, killing goats. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he starts this hunt because he's like, oh, guys, did you hear that it's hunted where I'm the town I'm the mayor of?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now you've got thousands of people filling the shops and hotels and bars.
It's
granted,
true.
Granted, it went a bit gun mad.
And then, as you say, he then realizes what he's done. He has to take the foot off the pedal.
But unfortunately, at that point, the police chief has forgotten that it is a hoax and he wants to use dogs
as bait. He's believing his own bullshit at this point.
He's gone full Rambo out in the forest, like he's
handing over Fido to the beast. Yeah.
Chief, you have to come back. Your family are worried about you. He drank first blood.
So the question now is that more likely than there is a vampire cat dog beast roaming South Carolina to this day, potentially?
And in terms of a conclusion, I'm gonna say, yeah, that is more likely.
Yeah,
that the mayor just hoaxed a paranormal beast in the woods.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, in terms of the beast of Bladenboro, we're both saying no.
We're saying no.
Which kind of sucks because it was an interesting case. But I, yeah, think the lack of evidence here, the lack of hard-hitting DNA and stories,
mm-hmm,
is going to chalk it up to a no.
I mean, what they lacked in science, they made up for in bloodthirsty masses.
Yeah.
And they didn't find anything.
It is funny that the best part of the story is the hunt.
Yeah.
Not the actual, like, killings at all, but the hunt.
I know, it does feel like a real horror movie cliche. It's like, really, if you think about it, we were the beasts all along.
Who's the real beast here? Twas us.
Twas us.
Credits roll.
Vampire beast comes on screen as a credit roll, winks at the camera.
You hear the Thriller laugh? So in terms of that latest mystery, that's a double no, unfortunately.
Double no.
But thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure. It's always been a pleasure.
It's always has been. Never will be. Draws a gun. Oh my god. Shits both of us.
I think this is our first podcast that we've done actually since it's launched.
Yeah.
Because obviously in turn...
took a little break.
Because of preparation for the launch, we obviously pre-recorded a bunch of episodes to kind of hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. But now the podcast
is launched. Recorded those when we were, what, 15, 16? 15. We're now 46 and 48, yeah, respectively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been really fun. It's been really fun. It's been really mm-hmm. exciting to launch the show. Feedback's been really good.
Yeah, thank Very you positive. So much for everyone just supporting and leaving nice reviews and giving us the criticisms that you know we yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Dad. If you could just stop, just stop.
How's your podcast going, Dad? Huh? Did you ever wonder that, Dad? London's expensive.
Wait, he's Dada. Actually three in all podcasts. He's ranked third.
Yeah, shit. With his podcast, my son's a bitch. How does he have this
Number
many subscribers?
Number one in comedy. I can't believe it.
How is this possible? I know, he's plugging Squarespace for millions off my shit life.
I know. Number two, my dad wrote a porno. Number one, my son is a bitch.
My son's a bitch.
The number one podcast in the country.
So thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. If you have any paranormal stories of your own or any particular that you want us to investigate, please email us in at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, to keep us climbing in the ranks, the competitive ranks, pop onto iTunes and give us some reviews, hopefully good. thank you for listening, and we'll be back again very soon. Goodbye.